Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. The tornadoes in the Midwest are horrific. And of course, people wonder about life and what's the purpose of life and why do things like this happen? When things go really well, everybody's happy. They tend to ignore such questions. When there is a crisis, people often think about God. Even atheists. And so I'd like to talk through this issue of suffering. At our website, kgov.com, we have an article under Bob's writings, and it's Bob Debates an Atheist. Does God exist? And there is a list of atheist cliches, 9 atheist cliches that we say that we can disprove in 8 seconds each, 8 seconds or less. And one of them has to do about suffering. And people say, if there is a God, then there could not be a good God because look at all the suffering in the world. So they say that suffering proves that the Christian God does not exist. That's the argument. Now, before we look at that one, that's about halfway through the list. I'd like to look at these because we say that we can disprove each of these in 8 seconds or less. So let's see how we do. Atheist cliche number 1, there is no truth. So our rebuttal to that is that true? And that takes about 1 second to rebut it. And many atheists, an increasing number of atheists, have become committed to the idea that there is no truth, and that is a self-refuting claim. It's a self-refuting worldview that there is no truth, because if that was true, right, then the claim would be false. So ideas, when people express ideas, the first thing you do is you test the idea on their own idea. You see if it's internally consistent. And so they also say, this is atheist cliche number 2. Well, people who won't go so far as to say there is no truth, they'll say, truth is unknowable. Truth is unknowable. So there might be truth, but truth is unknowable. So our rebuttal, and remember, it has to be in 8 seconds or less. So they say truth is unknowable, and we say, how do you know? That's another 1 second rebuttal. And then, by the way, our website, KGOV, KGOV.com, and government, because government is authority, and all authority resided in God, and then he created and he delegated powers and principalities and authorities, and he gave to beings, including human beings, authority over our wills, for example. And so the governing authorities should honor God. They should respect God. And K, because it's the first letter of, say, a radio station, a broadcast station west of the Mississippi. So KGOV.com. And you just click on writings. And the very first one, there's about 15 or so, 20 really interesting topics. And the very first one is, does God exist? Bob Benyart versus Zakith, and here in the list, right at the top, 9 atheist cliches disproved in 8 seconds or less. And so number 3, there are no absolutes. And our rebuttal to that, what's the rebuttal? It has to be in 8 seconds or less. There are no absolutes. Absolutely? Are you absolutely sure? So that would be an absolute. If there are no absolutes, that would be an absolute. And so ideas that are self-refuting, you can recognize that they're not valid. Our 13-year-old Zachary, this morning, he's finishing up his schooling for the year. for the year. He's homeschooled, and he's looking at the different sources of knowledge. And so I was looking over his shoulder at his curriculum, and he was talking about, and he was telling, explaining it to me, and he was explaining empiricism and what that is, and rationalism, and knowledge based on faith, or we talked about knowledge in your conscience, that God wrote his law on your heart. And so we were talking about empiricism, and he thought it was silly, the people who say you could only know what your five senses tell you. And he said, why would they throw out reason? Why would they say that you can only know what your five senses tell you because reason is not one of your five senses? And he thought that was peculiar, that there would be people who would reject and say they don't want to use faculties that they possess and that we know that God has given to them. And so he said he thought it was foolish to simply say you're not going to use this other way of obtaining knowledge, and that's by reason. For example, mathematical science, that's primarily a science of reason and the mind. And so our cliche number four is only your five senses provide real knowledge. And so we have 8 seconds to try to disprove that. Only your five senses provide real knowledge, empiricism. And our rebuttal is, says which of the five? That takes 2 seconds. Says which of the five? And there, I don't know how many atheists believe in these fundamental concepts that are self-refuting, and they live their life based on these. Some of them, or they pretend to. They can't really, but they pretend to. And they do all this out of a fear of God. They're afraid. They intuitively recognize if they admit that there's truth, they're going to be moving in the direction of the source of all truth, which is God. They intuitively recognize that, so they're afraid, and they say there is no truth. It's just a temper tantrum. It's an intellectual temper tantrum. So empiricists who say you could only know what your five senses tell you, my son Zachary this morning, before I left to come to the studio, he's doing his homeschooling, and he says, what do they think? You could see it with your eyes? How could you see if you're looking at a sentence on a piece of paper? Is it your eyes that tell you whether it's true or not? Your eyes or your reasoning? Your reasoning. Your eyes don't have any hope of telling you whether one sentence is true and another is false. And they had to reason to come up with this claim that only your five senses provide real knowledge. They had to use reason to get there. But the funny thing is, they're claiming that reason is not valid. And so it's not surprising that they would be very poor at reasoning, that they would do a poor job and come up with a wrong conclusion. And so the fifth atheist cliche is only the physical realm is real. Only the physical realm is real. And so how do you rebut that in 8 seconds or less? That might be difficult. Let's cut it in half. Let's give ourselves 4 seconds. Can we rebut that one in 4 seconds? I don't know. Let me look up here on the internet. Google knows everything. Google.com. Google sent me an email, and it's, I don't know why they asked me, survey. They have me in their media files and a profile, and once in a while they have news stories from the Associated Press or whatever, and they'll contact me and say, you're in the media, you're involved in this issue, would you want to comment on our news.google.com page? And so through all that, I get this question, and it's, What can you still not find on Google? And I put evidence that we have evolved from amoebas. Can't find that. Can't find that evidence. That's not on the internet. So Only the physical realm is real. That's an atheist cliche, number five. And so how do we rebut that in less than 8 seconds? Well, how about this? Only the physical realm is real. Rebuttal. That claim itself is not physical, so it's self-refuting. Claims are not physical. Ideas are not physical. Albert Einstein wrestled with this for many years. He wrote about it occasionally. He said, how could it possibly be that we can work with ideas? He said, because atoms and molecules are physical and ideas are not physical, and it seems to be an inseparable gulf. You can't get from atoms and molecules to ideas. You just can't do it. Ideas are not physical. Information is not physical. And so only the physical realm is real. That claim itself is not physical, so it's self-refuting. So that's 4 seconds. And then how about this? Atheist cliche number six, and this is where we get to our consideration of natural disasters and crime and disease, death. Atheist cliche six, great suffering proves that a loving God cannot exist. That's atheist cliche number six. Now, how do you rebut that in less than 8 seconds? Great suffering proves that a loving God cannot exist. Well, how about this? A theist rebuttal. The unstated assumption is false that suffering could have no value or purpose. Right? They say great suffering proves that a loving God cannot exist. And so when you make a claim, sometimes there are assumptions beneath your claim, and you're not always honest with people about what all your assumptions are. Like we've had people who say that abortion is fine, abortion is okay. And so then I debate them, and I ask them, well, is there anything that is absolutely wrong? Is murder wrong? Is rape wrong? Is there any absolute wrong? No. They say, no, nothing is wrong. Because the relativists, they believe there's no truth. There's no God of truth. There's no right or wrong. So when you debate them about whether or not abortion is wrong, you might think that you're talking to a rational person, but in reality, they don't think it's wrong if you lie to say that to win the argument or not. They don't think anything is right or wrong. There is no truth, so they might as well assert the exact opposite of what they're claiming because they just get to make it all up as they go along. So you think you're in a rational conversation. So it's important to know what the underlying assumptions are and the presuppositions of the person you're talking to. So people who say great suffering proves that a loving God cannot exist, the unstated assumption is false that suffering can have no value or purpose. And what possible value or purpose could suffering have? What possible value? Well, suffering comes from hatred of one another, how we hurt one another, and a hatred, a rebellion against God who gave us a paradise and we ruined the paradise. So there's a lot of suffering that comes from rebellion. And people think, well, why did God do it that way? Because he wanted us to be able to love one another, and love requires the ability to hate. You cannot love if you don't have the ability to hate. That doesn't mean you have to hate. God the Father does not hate God the Son. But love requires the ability to hate because love has to be freely given a stump. Have you ever seen a stump in your whole life? Have you ever had one in your yard? A stump. Does a stump love you? Does a stump love you? You don't get love from a stump, right? A stump can't love you. How about a worm? Can't love you. How about a meteorite? Can't love you. love requires the ability to hate because it has to be freely given. So God made Adam and Eve with the ability to love or hate him, to obey or disobey him, and to love or hate one another. And they had children, and Cain murdered Abel. Cain could have loved his brother, but he chose to hate his brother. And so great suffering proves that a loving God cannot exist. Well, they're assuming that you can have love without the ability to hate. That's an assumption they're making. They don't try to justify that assumption. They try to trick you into thinking that they're at the ground floor of logical reasoning, and they're not. They're way up in a tree, sitting out on a branch, and they got a saw, and they're cutting off the branch they're sitting on. So suffering is a result of people hurting themselves, hurting one another, and hurting God. God says, when you sin, it grieves God. And he gave us a paradise, and we spoiled it. And as a result of that, there is suffering in the world. And suffering does press us on, those who respond well to it, to wanting to have strong relationships with families and friends, so we could meet the challenges of the world around us, so we could love those who are in need of love and care, and so we could progress as humankind and not continue to build homes in flood valleys and to come up with tsunami warnings and build homes that will not collapse from slight tremors and earthquakes. So suffering pushes us toward growth and maturity and toward trusting in God. The Apostle Paul suffered a lot. Christ suffered a lot for us because freedom presents the possibility of great suffering, but it also gives us the opportunity to love. And I tell you, when my children, we have 7 boys, when they express their love to me, that's worth a world of suffering. And that's how God views it. God views it that some love is worth enduring a lot of hate. Some love is worth enduring a lot of hate. So those who humble themselves and want to love him and love one another, they have every opportunity to do that. And those who would rather ignore him, and that Jesus Christ died on the cross and was raised from the dead, they'd rather ignore him. And if it feels good, do it. And they don't care. They have the opportunity to do that. Oh, then we have a few other atheist cliches. And it seems to me that we could rebut them all within 8 seconds. Atheism is scientific because science does not allow for a supernatural interpretation of an event. That's atheist cliche 7. Atheism is scientific because science does not allow for a supernatural interpretation of an event. Well, could we rebut that in less than 8 seconds? Well, how about this? How long is this? Is this 5 or 6 seconds? This circular reasoning tricks atheists into assuming that which they thought they proved. This circular reasoning tricks atheists into assuming that which they thought they proved. They think atheism is scientific because science does not allow for a supernatural interpretation of an event. But if God created Adam and Eve on this earth, if God did, then their atheism is faulty because it could never determine the truth. It doesn't allow for the truth if, in fact, there is a creator. So they're assuming that which they're claiming that they've proved. That's about 6 seconds. Widespread evil proves that a righteous God cannot exist. And we actually address that back with great suffering. but I think this takes about 7 seconds. Widespread evil proves that a righteous God cannot exist. The two unstated assumptions are false, that love can be forced, and that some love is not worth enduring much hate. That's about 7 seconds. Widespread evil proves that a righteous God cannot exist. Rebuttal. Two unstated assumptions are false, that love can be forced, and that some love is not worth enduring much hate. And then atheist cliche number 9. I don't know, I might have to use all 8 seconds for this one. I might. If theists, people who believe in God, if theists claim that the universe could not have always been here, then God couldn't have always been here either. That's what they say. If people who believe in God say the universe could not have always been here, by the way, we've been saying that since the Bible was written, because the Bible says God created the heavens and the earth. We've been saying that for thousands of years. The scientists just joined us in the mid-1900s with Albert Einstein and the rest of the scientific community saying, you know what, the universe could not have always been here. It had to have a beginning. And a lot of atheists were freaked out for many years over that. And they called it the Big Bang. But science eventually arrives where the theologians have been all along, at God's word. So if theists say the universe could not have always been here, then God couldn't have always been here either. So I don't know if we could rebut that in 8 seconds. Does anybody have a stopwatch? I got here an atomic clock. Let's see. The natural universe is subject to the physical laws, so it would run out of usable energy. A supernatural spiritual God is not subject to physics. Is that 8 seconds? 9 seconds. Can I try it again? All right. I'll try it again. We'll see if we can get it in 8 seconds. Otherwise, we've got to change the title of the article. So the atheist cliche number 9 is, If Christians claim that the universe could not have always been here, then God couldn't have always been here either. This argument has been made by people who are supposedly brilliant. Brilliant. Like, you know, brilliant atheist, which is an oxymoron. So let's try this again. They say that if we say the universe could not have always been here, because we say that stars burn fuel and eventually they run out of fuel, they burn out. Stars eventually burn out. If the universe were always here, it would eventually be cold and dead and dark. But it's vibrant with life. I don't mean life like on Earth, but it's a dynamic universe with energy being transferred and fuel and light and fire and heat. And so the natural universe is subject to the physical laws, so it would run out of usable energy, but a spiritual God is not subject to physics. 7.9? All right. So when atheists say, look at the suffering in the world, there can't be a God. They are making assumptions that are false. And Christians recognize that. You know, some Christians think about it more and study the Bible more and read more to try to be able to show an atheist where he's made an error, where he's gone astray. But then there are Christians who struggle with, well, I remember an article in USA Today that we have in our Bible study seminar, Predestination and Free Will. We talk about this USA article. And in Florida, there were fires burning. This is about 10 years ago. And in fact, USA Today said on its cover story, it said, all of Florida is burning in a wall of flame. Now, a little bit of hyperbole there, but the wall of flame is creeping to the sea, consuming everything in its wake. It's not one fire, but about 2,000 fires since Memorial Day. said USA Today, some are big enough to close 100 miles of I-95 and produce smoke seen by satellite 200 miles over the Atlantic. Others are so small that they're being fought with garden hoses. On one short block of Vermont Street, that's in Scottsmore, Florida, a fire burned the Reverend Carl Atkins' home to the ground. But it left, this is interesting, but it left the Reverend Ed Maynard's house intact. How about that one? So they're on the same block, and they're neighbors, and they're both pastors, and the fire burned down the one pastor's house, and the other pastor, his house was fine, not a scratch, just a few doors away. And so Pastor Maynard's congregation, he was taking phone calls from them, and they were all praying for him. I imagine Pastor Atkins' congregation was praying for him too, but I don't see that in the story. But the pastor whose house burned down said, I know the Lord has a reason for everything. But he had no idea what it might be. You see, now that's superstition. There are many times in the Bible, you know, sometimes a nation is destroyed, sometimes a city, sometimes a block, sometimes a family, sometimes an individual or a child. And there's a lot of destruction in the Bible where God gets angry at the destruction. He's angry because he says, this is happening because you're disobeying my will. And so at times, yes, God brought judgment and destruction at times, like the global flood, which the evidence for that is everywhere in the world. But much of the suffering is from the natural consequences of our rebellion against one another and our rebellion against God. And when Adam and Eve sinned, the whole paradise, the paradise was destroyed. And as a result, there are natural disasters, which are tragic, but we look to God for wisdom and to know how to live in this world that we're in and how to recover and how to trust Him, regardless of what happens. Hey, it's fun. Talk to you soon. God bless you. KGov.com.